From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, November 21st, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
After the mass shooting in Lewiston a year ago, it wasn't clear whether the bowling alley or the pool hall where 18 people lost their lives would ever reopen. Many businesses that experienced similar tragedies never do. But in May, the bowling alley reopened, and today the building that housed the former bar and pool hall known as Schmengi's did too. Susan Sharon has more.
The interior has been remodeled. No more pool tables, cornhole games, or darts. This building, the scene of terror and sorrow last October, is now in the business of helping to save lives during the coldest months of the year.
So today is triumph through tragedy. Today we are going to give you a tour of Lewiston's Emergency Warming Center.
Kevin Bullard is the founder of the nonprofit Cadence Kitchen, which will operate the warming center and provide meals, clothing, and connections to support services for those most in need. Speaking to a gathering of city leaders and supporters, Bullard said the opening wouldn't have been possible without help from local businesses, the community, and beyond.
We've received support from families of victims of the tragedy. We've received support from people that were always considered some of our biggest naysayers. So our goal is to build community around this location, and we are very excited for the opportunity to work with everybody to make this a reality.
Bullard is expecting about 100 people a night this winter, but there is space for as many as 300 if necessary. Bullard and city officials are also hoping to make this a permanent homeless shelter next year. And during the event, they got a surprise boost in that effort from Eric Jorgensen and the Maine Housing Authority.
I have the privilege of being able to make a special announcement of something that no one's heard about yet. And that is that this morning, Maine Housing is announcing that Cadence Kitchen has been awarded a $2.5 million grant through the Emergency Housing Permanent Solutions Grant Program.
The grant was part of a statewide package of nearly $8 million awarded by Maine Housing to nearly two dozen organizations working to prevent homelessness. In a statement, Maine Housing Director Dan Brennan says the funding will provide resources to serve as many as 1,000 people with emergency shelter and housing. As for Lewiston, City Councilor David Chittum says the new refuge is a beacon of hope.
The transformation of Schmengi's into Lewiston's warming center speaks volumes to our city's resilience and determination to move forward.
Chittum says a community that respects human dignity is a place where businesses want to invest, where families want to settle, and where hope flourishes. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
Governor Janet Mills and the Maine Climate Council announced their updated climate plan today. The sweeping plan includes policy recommendations for the state to achieve its goal of carbon neutrality by 2045. Molly Anking has more.
Dubbed Maine Won't Wait 2.0, the non-binding plan sets goals and benchmarks for the next 4 years of climate policy, with some recommendations extending through 2030. The main pillars of the plan are transportation, housing, clean energy, jobs, environmental protections, and building up storm and disaster resiliency. Climate Council co-chair Hannah Pingree says there have been gains on every goal set in the initial plan 4 years ago.
Some places we're doing great. We are ahead of schedule on heat pump deployment. Others, we're still making progress. We have a long ways to go, but every part of this plan has seen movement and progress.
New goals in the plan include installing 275,000 heat pumps by 2027, with a focus on low-income households, and increasing the number of EV chargers and electric vehicles on main roads. Mills points to the 200 local municipalities that have joined the Climate Resiliency Partnership as proof that Mainers can make progress on their own.
This is not simply a matter of money or federal funds. It's a matter of courage, common sense, and creativity. And what we heard today were a lot of creative ideas and actions on the part of local people, and that is happening all across the state of Maine.
Mills says a change in the White House won't stop Maine from preparing for the realities of climate change or meeting the Paris climate agreements.
We, the state of Maine, and the U.S. Climate Alliance will continue on our goals to fight climate change because it's the way we support the health, life, and safety of our people.
Pingree adds that, for now, some federal funding already exists, and that climate resiliency can sometimes find support on both sides of the aisle, especially here in Maine.
The bipartisan infrastructure law was passed, you know, Senator Collins, many Republicans voted for it, and we will continue to work to implement using federal funds.
Though the plan spans a four-year period, only 2 years of Mills' term as governor remain. Mills has made climate and clean energy policy a cornerstone of her tenure as governor. She says her team will prioritize their efforts on transportation and housing, Maine's two biggest carbon emitters, and efforts to build up resiliency in the face of future storms. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Molly Enking.
The Republican lawmaker accused of choking his wife less than 2 weeks before Election Day has retained his seat in the Maine House of Representatives by a single vote. Steve Missler has more.
Representative Lucas Lanigan of Sanford defeated Democrat Patricia Kittard after a hand recount of ballots by state election officials in Augusta. The initial vote count ended in a tie. Lanigan was charged with aggravated domestic violence assault for allegedly choking his wife, prompting Democratic leaders to call for his resignation shortly before the election. Republican House leaders have defended Lanigan, saying he should have his day in court. His wife asked the judge and prosecutors to drop the charges, but the assistant district attorney said the state's case against Lanigan will continue and that victims often recant because of pressure from their abuser. The outcome is not expected to affect Democrats' slim majority in the 151-seat House, although additional recounts could further shave their advantage. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Rain is on the way this weekend, but it likely won't be enough to end widespread drought conditions. As of Thursday, all of Maine was either in a moderate drought or abnormally dry, and the National Weather Service says several parts of the state are experiencing one of the driest falls on record. George Harris with the Maine Forest Service says crews have seen a spike in wildfires over the last several weeks, concentrated in the southern part of the state.
We've been fairly busy the last month during this dryness. We were averaging, 11 or 12 fires a day.
Maine could see an inch or two of rainfall over the weekend, but Harris says if the ground freezes up before more precipitation falls, the state could see an even more active fire season in the spring. One in three Indigenous women will be the victim of a violent crime in her lifetime, according to the Wabanaki Alliance. And incoming Executive Director Molly Ann Bryant says tribes need more resources to investigate missing and murdered tribal members. Testifying at an Interior Appropriations hearing Wednesday in Washington, Bryant said the 1980 Maine Indian Claims Settlement Act is hampering the resolution of these cases.
The state was very adept at their negotiating, and it's kept us oppressed and held back from our full experience as federally recognized tribal nations, and we are heavily impacted by this restrictive settlement, and it impacts this crisis as well.
Bryant says the Settlement Act led to the dismissal of tribal cases because they were, quote, kicked out to state courts and led to, quote, zero convictions. Reauthorization of the Violence Against Women Act in 2022 means Maine tribes are now able to handle criminal cases on tribal lands. But Bryant says more resources are needed for tribal law enforcement training and ensuring that data on Indigenous crimes against women are collected and shared with state and federal agencies. Life Flight of Maine says a laser was pointed directly at one of its helicopters on a recent evening in Scarborough as it was returning to its base in Sanford. The nonprofit Air Ambulance Service says laser strikes are dangerous because the light can amplify in the cockpit and temporarily blind the crew and even cause permanent eye damage. While no one was injured in the incident, Life Flight Chief Pilot Kirk Donovan says there's a concerning uptick of laser strikes across the country.
The reported laser strikes from 2020 was 6,600 and change. In 2023, it's doubled, over 13,300 reported laser strikes.
Life Flight says 24 incidents have been reported in Maine so far this year. Anyone who knowingly points a laser at an aircraft faces fines and up to 5 years in prison. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Everyday Heroes. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.